This RFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Morena, he te whanau. I suppose it's not morning anymore.
No,
it's midday.
Somewhere it is.
Welcome to Recuperate. Recuperate. I'm Katie Abbott. Two B's, two T's.
I'm Lucy Cooper. Two O's. Not copper.
Copper. Mm-mm. Not copper.
No, not C-O-U.
Not crapper.
No, not C-O-U. P-E-R?
Cowper?
Cowper, but I think people pronounce it. No, I'm C-O-O.
How revolting. Not Abbott with one T like the Americans. Not Abbott with one B like the Americans. I don't even like Abbott, but, you know.
Do you not?
No. If I had my way, I'd change back to my mother's maiden name.
Right.
Which is...
I don't know.
Feel like I've told you
this
before.
Yeah, you
have. I'm disappointed that you're not remembering.
It's
wild, man.
What is it?
Wild man.
Oh, yes. You want to be a wild man.
Yeah.
Wild woman.
Because how far back can you go? Like, if I didn't take someone's name, I'd still be somebody's man's name.
Oh, my God. That's so true. So do you think...
So I just make up a whole new name.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I mean, there is...
Katie.
I mean, maybe that is the way we break out of the whole patriarchal grasp.
Yeah.
It's just ditching naming conventions altogether.
Yeah.
God, I'm excited about this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That could be my 51st birthday present to myself.
And a whole new name?
Yeah, why not?
Do you think you could keep the Katie bit somewhere so I can still keep calling you Katie? Because I'm too old.
I don't really like it. And I can't say it properly. I've told you this story before, right?
Tell me again.
Where I was due to have quite a significant operation, and I turned up the hospital and they were like, there's no record of Katie Abbott. I was like, what? And I hadn't eaten for 40 hours, so I was hangry.
Yeah.
You know, like I'd been fasting.
Yeah, you were hangry.
In preparation.
Yeah, and nervous,
for the op.
I expect.
Oh, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were like, no, we've got Casey Arbuff ready to have her appendectomy or whatever I was having out.
Casey Arbuff.
And, yeah, like Casey, because I don't send my tea properly.
Right.
So often I'm recorded when I'm speaking to someone on the phone as Casey
Arbuff
or Abbuff.
I had it in my head, K-C.
Oh, no,
yeah,
like C-A-S-E-Y.
Oh, my God.
It's a perennial problem.
I once had a parcel. I was once on the phone. I've told you this, haven't I?
I was once on the phone.
And having a lovely chat, and I was being, you know, my feminine self, and I was getting something delivered from this person that I was talking to when the parcel turned up. It was to Larry Cooper.
God, that's so funny. Why have I haven't heard that before?
I mean,
Larry Cooper.
Larry Cooper.
I'm going to call you Larry now.
Do. I'd love it. I'd love
Larry
that.
And Casey.
That could be the name of our show.
It could.
Yeah. Larry and Casey.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't get... You look so stunning.
Oh, stop
I'm just
now.
Loving with the glasses.
Anyway. Yes, I can't see anymore as a consequence of perimenopause.
Oh, my. It's brutal, isn't it? Absolutely brutal.
Everything's blurry and upsetting. I mean, I actually wanted glasses when I was 20 for fashion purposes.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I have to have them for real purposes, and it's
Do you find,
sad.
Though, your sight will fluctuate? So I might start off a bit shaky. By midday, I've got quite good vision.
Yeah.
And then come 7 o'clock at
I'm
night.
I'm sure that's a muscle thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And probably because you're
leaking.
You're leaking estrogen everywhere.
Just pouring
and
out.
And estrogen is just one of the things that sight is responsible for.
I think you look fabulous.
Oh. Thanks, Larry.
I mean, that's the kind of editorial
we've got, Klaus.
Feel free to shift that way because that shot's a bit weird on this.
Yes, side. I think it's this way I need to go. Or do you mean
you decide.
Okay, I'm going to move.
All right,
because I want to be in all glorious.
Anyway, today's playlist.
I'm going to.
Now you've absolutely disappeared.
Oh, okay. Yes, today's playlist. Tell me about. Oh, look at me bouncing
into view. You just moved the microphone. There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Today's playlist is a sonic quiz.
Oh, my gosh.
Quiz.
I'm loving it.
And it's about, I was inspired, who knows how and why, to put together a playlist that reflects plagiarism or...
Yeah?
I've forgotten the word.
What does it sound like? What does it mean?
When you're, like, honouring something.
Oh.
Plagiarism or...
Damn.
It's just lost its whole momentum.
Is it a P
now.
Word?
Homage.
Homage.
Came to me.
It's like a quiz. Plagiarism or homage?
Yeah. Plagiarism or homage is the quiz theme today for our playlist.
All right.
So...
Do I have to guess?
Well... No, because I don't think you've got the chutzpah for it, frankly. You're not, I don't think you're musically.
No, no, I see what you're saying.
I don't mean to be rude, but yeah, it's not really a quiz. I was just setting up in that format.
No, I wanted to be a quiz, and I don't mean failing.
No, it's fine, you can play.
Okay.
Yeah, so homage or plagiarism, and just doing a little bit of a deep dive into plagiarism in the music world.
I love
and how
this.
It's rife, and how, what's the difference between plagiarising someone or homaging them? Do you homage someone?
Oh, totally. Homage me.
And is the plagiarism intentional, or is it subconscious plagiarism?
Oh, my gosh.
And the word for that is... I've forgotten.
What, subconscious plagiarism?
No, well, that's what it has to be proved. It has to be proven to be there in a court case.
And these court cases can go on for a long time and be highly technical, can't they? I mean, what's the ginger guy? What's his name? Who just had that happen to him? It went through a court case.
Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow, we're really kicking it today. Who's the ginger guy? Who's that ginger guy? I don't know about him. But I was thinking, is it more plagiarism used to be a bigger thing because everyone was trying to do their own thing back in the day.
Yeah.
But now because of sampling and the way music is done more contemporary and taking, you know, your inspirations and your things from everywhere because we're all getting exposed to different things on a global stage, what's the difference?
And also, question.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people collage, like the physical...
paper things.
Yeah. You know, the physical act of collaging. And, you know, you might borrow bits from elsewhere, bits of artwork to create your own thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you borrow music, it's to your point, exactly. Yeah. I'm just from a different...
Okay.
you know... A musical kind of collage.
Yeah.
Is it you use somebody else's work or you're inspired by it? Just because you do that, does it mean you're copying or pinching or stealing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just interested.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's have our first one. So our first song is by Cat Stevens, or Yusuf Islam, as he's now known.
Yes.
And it was from the Tea for the Tillerman album, and it's the famous Father and Son. So let's have a little listen to this and then we'll see what song was made that was accused of plagiarism and what happened in the court.
Both. Yeah.
Is that okay?
I love this quiz. Okay.
It's not time to make a change. Just relax, take it easy. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to know. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. I was once like you are now, and I know that it's not easy to be calm when you found something going on. But take your time, think a lot. Why, think of everything you've got, for you will still be here tomorrow. but your dreams may not. How can I try to explain? When I do, he turns away again. It's always been the same, same old story. From the moment I could talk, I was ordered to listen. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go. Not time to make a change, just sit down, take it slowly. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to go through. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. Keeping all the things I knew inside. It's hard, but it's harder to ignore it. If they were right, I'd agree. But it's them they know, not me. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go.
All right.
Lovely sonic treat. Loving that.
Did you listen carefully?
I did listen really carefully.
Okay.
Not just because you told me to.
Good. And now I'm going to play the plagiarist in question is the Flaming Lips, who are an American band.
Yes.
And this song is called Fight Test. I might not play all of it because it's 4 minutes long and we've got other things to do. But we'll see how we go.
Okay.
But I'd be interested to see your response after I play this.
All right.
Okay, ready? the idea. And well, I'm just going to slowly fade that out.
I'd be bashing it.
If I had a gavel, Judge Larry Cooper would be saying, "What ho?
Oh,
what ho now?"
Well, I said to you while the music was playing, yes, it sounds like they're doing twiddly drumming to take your mind off the fact it's an utter rip-off.
Yes.
I mean, it's a beautiful song. I think they did a lovely job.
Yeah.
But it's definitely, it's unmistakable.
Homage or a plagiarism?
Well, what did they say?
Well, Yusuf Alam, Cat Stevens' publisher, raised concerns because there's a definite musical similarity.
Mm.
So he took them to court. As rightly should.
Yeah.
And now the Flaming Lips and that song, 75% of the royalties goes to Yusuf Islam,
wow,
Cat Stevens.
Did they try and put up a robust defence?
No.
Did they
Wayne Coyne, who's the front man of Flaming Lips, who in his own right is a musical dude and genius,
yeah,
and they usually do, they're quite known as quite an avant-garde band,
yeah,
and, you know, just have no trouble coming up with their own cool stuff on their,
yeah,
own. And he said he apologised for the situation and expressed his regret that he should have, you know,
yeah,
said, look, this is pretty similar and I should have done something about that. So that rises a question. They,
yeah,
sort of got away with it because they said, we'll give you the royalties.
Yeah.
And their lawyer pled a thing called subconscious plagiarism.
Okay.
Which some cases involve. So it's not meaning that you didn't intentionally copy the work, but that you were a subconscious infringer because, you know,
yeah,
we're all exposed to different,
yeah,
sources and artists inspiring other artists and so on and so on. So you can't not. And then there's that thing about the universal chord in music that,
okay,
you know, everyone's going to have a bash at it one time or other. But
picture this. You're in the rehearsal room, the whole band.
And the drummer's like,
at what point do I speak up?
Should I say something? Yeah.
Oh.
Interesting. So that was my first round of the
game. Oh my god!
The
I'm
first
so
round of the Sonic Plagiarizer, yeah, quiz.
Very cool.
And now we can revert to our usual programming.
No,
you want to do another one?
I want to do another one for,
okay,
sure. This is brilliant. And because you're such an excellent researcher, I know I'm going to get the tea.
All right. So our second round is a court case between Marvin Gaye.
Oh.
And the great Marvin Gaye and Robin Thicke and Pharrell Williams, who you'll know from.
Oh, yeah.
Happy.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to play Marvin Gaye's tune, which has Got to Give It Up, part one.
Okay.
The great Motown hit.
Oh,
and
love him.
We'll have a listen to that, and then we'll come back and listen to Blurred Lines.
All right.
Thank you.
That's the old Marvin Gaye, and that was released in 1977.
Great year.
Yeah. And here is the plagiarism or homage. We're just playing Gross. I'm not going to play a lot of this because I don't particularly like Robin Thicke, and I think this song's pretty... It was criticised a lot for its content and Gross video, but that was 2013 this came out. So it's Blurred Lines by Robin Thicke and... Pharrell Williams, who now regrets having done this song, interestingly. So we'll play a little bit of this.
Okay.
Everybody get up.
Actually, I've had enough of him because he's gross. Anyway, did you see the similarity?
I did see the similarity. It didn't jump out at me quite like the last one did.
Right. No. So the estate of Marvin Gaye sued sued Pharrell Williams and Robin Thicke, claiming in copyright infringement because there was too much similarity. And they won.
Right.
So all's well that ends well.
But, I mean, because... It would have been hard for me to have picked that. I mean, there was like it was more like the general vibe.
Yeah,
was very reminiscent.
Yeah,
gosh,
that wasn't as obvious. So that was kind of a more subtle one, but
wow.
It passed in the courts. So.
Do you know what the outcome was? Did Marvin Gaye's estate get a whole bunch of?
I'm not sure how much royalties they got, if they got any. I think it was more a
moral victory.
Yeah.
I don't know much about this, Mr. Thicke.
I think you should probably keep it that way. Do you remember a horrible 80s sitcom called... Sitcom called... Oh, God. His father is Robin Thicke, who was around in the 80s, and he did this gross... here, I'm just flying around the words gross and Thicke. He's gross.
Is he really that gross? No. I'm making him up too.
His father, who's his father? Alan Thicke is his father.
Right.
And he's Canadian and he was in this funny old TV show that I used to watch when I was little and Kirk Cameron was in it. It's called Growing Pains. It was in the 80s.
Okay, yeah.
You might not have had it in the UK.
No. I'm just looking, I mean, the photo of him with...
Yeah.
Going to suck a toe.
Yeah. So I'm glad that he got taken to court. And so Pharrell Williams, who we kind of think's kind of cool and, you know, he's still got a career going and so he said he regrets the objectification of women that was in that that video and this kind of suggestive lyrics and grossness. Anyway, let's move on to the third round of the Sonic.
Yes, please.
Sonic quiz.
So much fun.
Okay, so here we go. We're going to listen first to Run Through the Jungle, which is by Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Gosh. You're really digging out the good tunes. Okay.
And then we'll have a listen to what was accused of plagiarism. Okay, here all you right. go. So Creedence Clearwater Revival,
mm-hmm.
great band from California, mm-hmm. around in the 60s. And that song came out in 1970. It's not about Vietnam, as some people okay. thought. It just yeah. happened to come out at the time when, you know, like All Along the Watchtower, some real big hitters, songs yeah. from the Vietnam era were resonating with people back home. It's actually about gun control and shooting, like school right. shootings, which are happening even then.
Okay.
All right. And the next one we're going to listen to, which came out in 1973, is Long Cool Woman, brackets, in a black dress by the Hollies.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
And we'll talk about what happened afterwards. Have a listen.
Saturday night, I was
do you think? Your mouth dropped a little bit there, so I was thinking maybe yes, you did.
Yes, I think a similar reaction to the first round of this competition.
Yes.
Where it felt very obviously, you know, quite reminiscent of the original track.
So that song, Long Cool Woman, was a bit of a departure for the Hollies.
Right, yeah.
And John Fogerty, who's the lead singer of Creedence Clearwater, and there's the two Fogerty brothers, and they took a, well, they took them to court and said that it sounds too similar to the Creedence Clearwater Revival trademark musical style, which was known as swamp rock.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah, that
like,
makes sense.
You know, like kind of...
Bit grungy,
bit of Creole influence.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Bit kind of sweaty and hot.
Yeah, and like a blues kind of pounding. But ultimately, the lawsuit was dismissed because the court found that while they are similar, the melodies were a bit different so that they couldn't claim it. But interestingly, John Fogerty, later in his career, was sued by someone else for doing the same thing. So, it's all swings and roundabouts in the music industry.
Yeah, but also it's interesting that that court case was dismissed, but the Farrell Thick number was accepted by the court. So that's really interesting because, even the tone of the voice.
Yeah, they've got very similar tones. But John Fogerty, I think the whole band, or maybe it was just him because he was the main songwriter, sold the rights to all of his back catalogue.
Okay.
So a lot of Creedence Clearwater music was popping up in like ads to advertise blue jeans, to advertise car paint, to advertise anything and everything in America.
Ooh,
so
that's what happens.
It was common. It was in the common vernacular. Lots of people were hearing it.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So that might account for why.
Yes.
Not that particular instance. Oh, I've got a tickle. But, that's why, especially with advertising, it was getting in its heyday in the 60s with like the, advent of television and stuff.
Of course, yeah.
In America, anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, interesting. But just shows the complexities of musical copyright and how hard it is to prove something.
Yeah.
Back then, but even now, because of, like, our global mix of influences and the way a lot of music has changed to use sampling as something that's quite normal.
Yes. Yeah. You've just reminded me. I listen to Cautionary Tales, a podcast, and I'm in the next music break. I'll try and find the episode, which was dealing with this very issue, but back in the day. So I will find that. And absolutely. I mean, we're so much more exposed to visual images, to music and sounds than at any other point in our history as a species, I'm sure. Mm. And at what point can you
claim that something's yours or that you heard it, but you've tweaked it a little bit. So
yeah,
I think I wonder if it's getting harder and harder to prove those things in court.
Mm.
Yeah.
Those court cases must be
fascinating. What was the Ed Sheeran outcome?
I'll have a look. Hang on a minute. Let me just quickly consult the computer. Ed Sheeran... And what was it? Court case? Court case. Here we go. Ed Sheeran recently won a copy infringement case in the US Court of Appeals regarding his song Thinking Out Loud and Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On. Maybe we should play those two next. The court affirmed the initial jury verdict stating that Sheeran's song did not infringe on the copyright of Gaye's song as they shared only fundamental musical building blocks.
Yes.
Talking my kind of language, building blocks. This ruling is the latest in a series of legal battles Sheeran has faced over the song, with previous cases also finding in his favour.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's hard to prove. I wonder if we could be interesting to talk to a copyright lawyer.
Wouldn't it?
To see how harder it is to prove those sorts of things.
Yeah. And I bet those court cases are at once fascinating and also grindingly dull.
Dull.
Yeah. And, you'd as a
court report... How do they prove it? And they have specialist musicians that come in and play it and they...
Yep.
The jury hears, or
the
is it a
judge
jury?
Having to listen to over and over again a little snippet until everybody feels like they're going to lose their mind.
Is it the same? Is it having an existential crisis and questioning everything you thought was real? Is it a bit different to court reporting in Wairarapa, Lucy? Are you on the court beat?
Yes, I do the court. I mean, I'd love to do more because it's quite a skill in itself,
yes.
One which I don't think I've quite mastered. Actually, just fathoming the court system, I don't know how some very vulnerable defendants kind of get through, to be honest, because it is just bewildering. Yesterday I sat in court and, you know, they're obviously very busy. They don't sit every day. One guy had been there all day. It was 5 o'clock at night and he had still been there waiting for his case to be heard. Yeah. And he was very patient and I thought he was very well mannered. I guess he was already in trouble. Mm. So we didn't want to get in more trouble. But yeah.
So you just have to come back until they're ready.
Well, he'd actually he lived elsewhere. He lived over in the hut and he said and also something else had happened that day where because he'd gone out to get some lunch. And I think his case might have been called, but he wasn't there. So then suddenly he's looking like at another charge for not showing up. And it's like, I was here. You said I'd be on at 10 and I wasn't. So it was all a bit fraught.
So you take a proxy to that. Can you?
I don't. It's a very good question. It's just must be very fraught. You don't. You know, particularly if you're extremely vulnerable, you might not understand what it is you've done wrong. Yeah. There was definitely one case that looked a bit like that yesterday. The judge, there's a particular judge who I really do warm to, and she's always so compassionate and always tries to help people fathom the system that they're in. Mm. So that's always nice to see, those human moments, actually. The court is full of extremely human moments. You know, it just makes you realise how lucky am I, you know, to have got as old as I've got without coming a cropper.
Wow, there's still time. can you tell us what's happening with Pukaha?
Yes, so today we published a story that I was working on yesterday. Which was about Tararua District Council.
Giving them another loan, yeah?
Well, no, they lent Pukaha $1 million in 2020, I want to say 2021, for the Te Whare Wānanga Taiao building, the lovely new building. And it was didn't have to pay back the principal until 2026. That's obviously next year. And then it would be chunks of $200,000 until the principal was paid off. And then in terms of the interest, the council were kind of giving them grants to cover the interest initially. And then they changed that because they reviewed the long-term plan. And I think they were concerned about transparency and also, you know, at what point do you stop kind of giving people the interest and so
they gave them grants to pay off the interest.
Yeah, so it was essentially interest free.
Right.
Yeah, it was to make it interest free, and so they would kind of cover that cost through their long term plan.
Right.
And then they decided they weren't going to do that anymore. And the Pukaha board at the time made a submission and said, "Oh, actually, well, would you mind not doing that?" And also. Reinstitute the grants through your long-term planning process again, and the council said no, and then the council have invoiced them for $41,000 interest because they're now charging them interest. And I think the council's view was that, well, you work out how you're going to cover the interest. You can apply to us for a grant from the contestable fund to help meet those costs, but essentially we want you to start paying the interest. So now the council is an unsecured creditor. They are seeking security now, so they've requested security on their loan. But in the midst of all this, Rangatane Tume Rā, who is the post-settlement governance entity for Rangatane Iwi, have gone to council with a proposal to say, well, look, we'll take on the debt, but we don't want to be paying interest on it, but we will cover the debt, you know, kind of offering a safe pair of hands, as the council called it, financially prudent approach. So I wrote about this, you know, I've kind of gone from a situation where people were willing to talk to me and now they're not so willing to talk, which I think is really interesting, because I think what I'm finding quite fascinating is that the problems that existed a month ago when we still when we started reporting on
still
this
existing.
Still exist.
Yeah.
In different forms, but they still exist.
Yeah.
I was also thinking that, and again, I've asked council these questions. I'm on the record as having asked these questions. Like, when you're making those kind of decisions, yes, it's financially prudent of the council to find a safer pair of hands for that debt so that the community don't hold that debt. But what about the opportunity costs? You gave that $1 million a year, however many years ago, 5 years ago. That $1 million in 5 years' time, the inflationary loss as well, in 5 years' time when somebody will pay off that debt, it isn't worth as much as it was back then. There are other things that could have been done with that $1 million. How do you account for that in your processes going forward?
Mm.
And I'm trying to engage people in these really interesting, deep questions, which I think, and I think when I'm asking them, I'm not just picking on Pugar. I'm thinking this affects every charity,
yeah,
in the country.
Especially if now they might have to start paying registration fees, and
yes,
from David Seymour's proposed bill, there'll be big changes coming up for charities who need to look at the way they operate and the things they do for best practice.
Yeah. Yeah, there are deep questions we need to be asking as a community.
Yeah.
How
are the other loans that Pukaha received secured?
I'm not sure about there are other loans for sure. I'm not sure about the security on them or not. And again, I've asked these questions and I'm just not at the moment getting any answer. I appreciate everybody is busy, everybody's got other things they want to be doing, and I also understand that people want to look to the future. But if we don't, as a society or as a community, ask these deep questions now, then people,
could happen again.
Exactly. And also, I think it has brought home to roost, the important role of being on a board and how it's not to be taken lightly, and how when people are going on boards, they need to be thinking about these questions. Look, I've been on boards, and I don't go on boards anymore because I am constitutionally unable to do that kind of work. You know, it's not my wheelhouse.
Mm.
There are other people who are great at it. You know, the new chair and deputy chair of this board, of Pukaha board, are those people, right? You know, they're a steady pair of hands. But you know, it raises so many questions for us. That's why I find this whole situation fascinating on so many levels. But these deep questions will not go away. If I'm not asking them, the community are asking them. Other journalists will be asking them. And I don't think anybody is going to necessarily be hurt by thinking about answers to those questions.
Hmm.
You know, I feel, I really do feel quite strongly about it.
I mean, it's not inherently a negative thing to ask, because if they're future-focused and everyone wants to be future-focused, that's a question you would ask the future board or your future change in processes or how you work, like your charity's constitution or something.
Definitely. And there is no doubt, I mean, leading up to the Pukaha story, there were other charities I'd spoken to, other organisations that rely on grant funding, who had said to me, it's a different world out there now. We can't get that money. I've spoken to professionals in the kind of grant advisory space who said, absolutely, you cannot see grants as a safe place anymore. You have to think really, really strategically. You have to go above and beyond. You have to engage your community in new ways. You know, I've been doing the homework, and everything I've heard from these other instances that I've also reported on in smaller cases apply exactly here. So what do we do, New Zealand, when we want nice things, when we want essential things like looking after our endangered biodiversity and species? What do we do when we want to look after people who have got illnesses? What do we do when we want to educate our children and give them the best, growing up possible, when grants aren't there? We have to think of a different way of doing this in a way that's safe for everybody.
Do you know if there'll be an internal review by the new board makeup of what went wrong. So,
I have asked that question. Yeah. I've asked that question. I've asked that question of the Minister for Conservation.
Yeah.
I've asked that question of the new board and also of Mike Butterick.
No responses from anyone.
I have had a response from Mike Butterick. In fact, there'll be some stories I'm reporting on next week to do with this, where Mike has come up with a response, which is better than other people have done. Absolutely. At what point do you say we need to have a review? Because I think when we think about this, we want to, as you say, we want to do things better. We don't want to be in this situation.
Yeah.
It's a drain and a stress on everyone. And we saw that when that $600,000 public fundraising was launched, little kids giving their pocket money. Everybody's feeling this. So, you know, what do we do? And I'm really... As a journalist and as a person of this community, I'm interested in the broadness of these questions, not the specifics, but also the broadness. What lessons can we learn? What can we do better?
Yeah. Is there any other comparable organisation like Pukaha nationally that have had a similar issue, or someone that you could talk to in comparison, like Zealandia, for example?
Yes,
or,
I do need...
And how they make their decisions, and do they follow any kind of risk assessment process before you make a big financial commitment or something that seems big, and you don't happen to have on the board a makeup of someone who's quite a conservative person who's, you know, risk averse, and then a person who's like, maybe the board was all like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's about getting that right balance of people, but also having a process of... Have you talked to anyone like that? Or do you know of any other entities in New Zealand who have had come up against the same situation?
Yeah, well, you mentioned Zealandia, and I think actually they were in a similar situation not too long ago. And I know that Celia Wade Brown, Green Party List MP, who lives here in this region, has tangentially mentioned that to me in passing. So I will take the opportunity to talk to her a bit more in depth. Because you're right, you know, that they're... this has happened in the past. It's happening now. It will happen again. But what do we... There's no doubt that Pukaha, Zealandia, these other national wildlife centres are taonga, and they look after taonga, And it's in all our best interests to maintain them. But I think, lessons learned. There's definitely some work I can be doing in that space.
Exciting.
Yeah. It is exciting.
I look forward to reading about it, because big questions matter when you're thinking about future enterprises.
Yes, and I think social media makes us think we're asking big questions.
Yeah.
But I think journalism has still got a real place to properly do that work.
Yeah.
And you can choose to read it or not. You can choose to read the first two paragraphs and leave the rest alone and feel like you've read it. I am guilty of that also. But I think that is what journalism's here to do. And so I will not, for all those agencies that I've peppered with questions, sometimes at 5 o'clock in the morning, because I wake up and I kind of go, right, I'm onto this. You know, and by the end of the day, I'm thinking, oh, I could have reframed those questions. To all those agencies I've asked questions of, I'm not doing this to chew up time in your day. These are genuinely good questions. I'm open to talking about how I can frame my questions differently, and to have a general off-the-record chat before they answer.
Yeah.
I'm putting this out to them.
Because you could go down as a next resource on your toolbox of having a official information.
Done that too.
Oh, you've done that too. Crikey.
Yeah. So I'm waiting for a whole bunch of stuff to come
back.
But in the meantime, questions keep popping up, and they need to be answered. Like the Tararua District Council meeting, I didn't know that was on the agenda. The live stream wasn't working that day, so I couldn't even report who voted for what. I reached out to the District Council and they said, oh, we'll try and get back to you. My questions were really basic. Who voted in favour? Who voted against? What was the nature of the debate? Nothing. Crickets. Now that's just basic public accountability. I don't care if you like me or not. That's irrelevant. I want these questions answered. I feel
really fired up. Got flames coming off it.
What time is it?
I feel your passion. No. And I appreciate your tenacity.
Thank you. I do feel extraordinary.
Because I think people have got a lot of questions.
Yeah.
From a layperson's point of view, when I see it mentioned on social media, and like a lot of people have got their heads in the sand about it, and a lot of people are saying, well, I feel like I don't want to give you any more money until we hear what how you've, you know, got into this situation in the first place.
Yeah.
Which is a reasonable question.
Yes.
In my mind.
I think so too. I yeah. really think so. And, you know, these numbers that we're looking at are big. The whole is big.
Mm.
And it's going to require that, you know, it's going to take a village for sure.
What's your feeling on how things will proceed now that the new board, well, like the leaders of the board are in place, and like, is it, are we potentially saying goodbye to Pukaha, or?
Do you know, I don't know. Yeah. I know that the people on the board, I don't know. I have been told by the people on the board, and I've got no reason to not believe what they've told me, is that they are working tirelessly to fix this situation. Absolutely. And the partners as well.
Mm.
And no doubt there'll be, there are people in DOC who are also trying to make sure that this place, you know, it does such important work on behalf of DOC, gets saved. I think everybody's intentions are absolutely on the money.
Mm.
I think I would hate to think that things had got so bad for so long and people didn't say anything for such a long time that it can't be saved. That would be the most awful outcome. I guess my role is to try, and I feel like I'm putting together a big jigsaw from the information I can find that's on the public record, from people who are willing to talk to me on and off the record, and try and say, and you know, maybe in a few months' time I'll be able to say, oh yeah, I think maybe it can be. I just don't know. And I think it's a really interesting problem either way. If it doesn't continue, and if it does, that's both two different types of problem.
Yeah, you're right. And the local manufacturing firm that made the new Avery's,
yeah.
Has their situation been resolved?
No.
They haven't been paid?
No, and they're not on site. But, you know, I have, they have told me, and I have reported that DOC have told me they are on site finishing the work. And that has caused some disquiet.
Yeah, okay.
Because BK Engineering are on the record as saying, we would have been on site and we stayed on site and we're not paid. We then weren't paid for so long we had to come off site, and we would have gone back on site the day you pay the bill.
Yeah.
So I think, you know,
so
that's a huge...
that says to me, like, there's not cash to pay them, but we have to find it way another
they
way
have
to...
paid, they have found $180,000 to pay...
someone else to do it, or DOC workers themselves?
Not quite sure. DOC/a contractor, don't know, but it's definitely not BK Engineering. They knew that project inside out. They have made the doors. I've asked the question of DOC, what are you going to do with the doors they bespoke made? Are you going to make them again? That'd be a waste of money. They're there. What are BK Engineering going to do with those doors? Far
goodness.
Out.
Goodness me. Goodness
I hope
me.
Nothing I've said gets me in trouble.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. I can go back to, I know I've got all my sources in my head, like, you know.
You do, you do.
It's all in there, yeah. You know. Yeah,
yeah. You're impeccable in that sense, I'm sure. It's interesting, the news cycle, eh? And it just reminded me of something where you don't have to read it if you don't want to. I mean, long-form pieces and deep investigation and the nature of things that are posted on social media now that are quick bites, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes someone's like, oh, apologise, this is going to be long. And they've written like two paragraphs, which in the scheme of things isn't that long. But then at the bottom they would say TLDR,
oh, yeah.
Which stands for too long, didn't read. And there would be like, maybe a couple of sentences that would basically summarise their entire argument in the two paragraphs.
Oh, okay.
And so if you didn't feel like reading that, you'd skip to the bottom.
Right.
You'd read the TLDR, too long, didn't read.
Got it.
Blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if it might come to that for some news outlets as like,
yeah,
you know, here's the option. Here's the long form piece if you want to dive deep.
Yes.
But here's the, like your little sidebars, what
yes.
are they called?
Yeah, the briefs.
The briefs.
News and
briefs.
People love those. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's a really That's a neat idea, Katie. I might ruminate on that because we're always looking to innovate. You know, what is going to make people engage with the material we're making in a way that's comfortable for them? We've got to go.
We do.
Shivers, Crikey. Thank you for giving me that airtime.
Oh, what? Oh, and I fell off the chair. I was so surprised by someone thanking me. Listen, we hope you have enjoyed our show today.
It's been a cracker, I've got to say.
We've
Katie,
enjoyed
I've loved
being
it.
Back in the studio, as always. Thank you to Arrow FM, our generous sponsors, on 92.7. And we will see you in 2 weeks' time.
Yes.
And that's it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stay warm. Bye-bye.
Bye.